This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1374. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave, on this edition recorded September 11th. Making the best of iBotch at night. Lots of Latin American DX and station news from Mexico to Bolivia. Hurricane frequencies. New frequencies and times from Ukraine, Pakistan, Japan. St. Brandon de-expedition. Papua New Guinea and Australian monitoring. And the propagation outlook. Here's a tip if you want to hear World of Radio late Sunday night on WBCQ 7415. The nominal time is 0415 UT Mondays, but more often than not, it starts a bit late. And in fact, last week, the new edition did not start until almost 0500, since for some reason they played back extra 76 before getting on to the latest edition. So it pays to tune in a bit early and stay tuned until you finally hear World of Radio on WBCQ. The date is drawing nigh for drastic cuts to Voice of America language services, even including English. However, here's a somewhat hopeful report from EurasiaNet, September 8th, via Media Network. Plans to eliminate VOA's Uzbek language service are likely to be shelved due to opposition in both houses of Congress. The House and the Senate have recommended sufficient funding to fully restore the reductions proposed in the fiscal year 2008 and continuing broadcasting, which the administration proposed for language service reduction, including Uzbek. Well, there are a number of other languages on the list, but this particular story is concentrating on Uzbek, so let's keep our fingers crossed. Meanwhile, there's a lawsuit because an American didn't get the job she wanted at VOA. The VOA French service has promoted a Chadian citizen over a U.S. citizen. The American is suing VOA. If a judge grants the request for class action status, more than 50 job applicants dating back 6 years ultimately could be named as plaintiffs in the lawsuit. This was covered in the Washington Times of September 10th via CommanderElliott.com and also at the top of the labor union page, www.afge1812.org. Basically, the VOA is allowed to hire non-citizens if there are no qualified citizens for the position. But of course, there are plenty of Americans who speak French. Also via CommanderElliott.com, an AP story of September 9th, Senator Chris Dodd, candidate for a presidential nomination, would shut down the 17-year-old TV Marti, adding that taxpayers should not spend money on Radio Marti, the companion station, to the TV that virtually no one in Cuba sees, as he puts it. Kim Andrew Elliott says, Radio Marti probably is heard in Cuba by those who have shortwave radios. Any country with controlled domestic media needs an outside source of news about itself. Radio Marti provides this. More economically, so would VOA Spanish transmissions targeted to Cuba. From a VOA press release via Media Network, VOA and the Duke Ellington Jazz Festival are hosting a free concert in memory of VOA jazz host Willis Conover and in observance of the 50th anniversary of Dizzy Gillespie's first State Department-sponsored trip. It takes place Monday evening, September 17th at 7:30 Eastern Time, including Paquito de Rivera, Milcho Leviev, George Mraz, Valery Ponomarev, and Horacio Hernandez. From Cuba, Bulgaria, Czech Republic, and Russia. It's at the Cohen Building Auditorium, VOA headquarters, 330 Independence Southwest, the C Street entrance. It's free and open to the public, but there's limited seating and reservations are required by September 13th. Email publicaffairs@voa.gov. I've come across a forum with lots of discussion and useful advice about the conversion to digital and high-definition television in Oklahoma in particular. I'm sure there are many others dealing with other regions. But even if you're not in Oklahoma, you might find useful info here. It's www.hdtvok.com. Of course, that won't be in effect everywhere in the U.S. for another SESCRA year. But September 14th, as we've mentioned before, is the date when the FCC begins permitting so-called HD radio at night, in band, on channel, which isn't really on channel, but occupying adjacent channels. There's been a lot of speculation, much of it quite worried among the DX community about what will become of the medium wave band with all this additional digital noise at night. Here are a few comments from various points of view. A letter to the editor of the CGC Communicator via Kevin Redding, ABDX, from Chris Alexander, who's with Crawford Broadcasting in Denver and also who does a lot of writing on radio matters under a slightly different pseudonym, says, I don't think AM nighttime iBotch is going to be the Armageddon that some are predicting. Based on our company's facilities, I doubt there will be 100 stations on the air at night before the end of the year. We are simply not ready with most of our AM night facilities, and we're not planning to invest heavily in additional transmitter and antenna work to get those up at night in the digital mode until we can evaluate the effectiveness and impact of AM nighttime digital. I suspect the same situation exists across the board. The current stats show the total number of AM stations on the air with HD signals is 227. That's out of about 12,000, I believe, including AM and FM in the U.S. However, some stations have already been heard at night with iBotch. One of those was KHHO 850 in Tacoma, Washington, according to someone named Gary on one of the forums, and also KFYI 550 in Phoenix, Arizona, noted by Kevin Redding. However, Kevin is making the best of this mixed blessing, shall we say. He says the ABDX group is presenting a QSL window for KFYI 550 in Phoenix HD reception starting September 14th. If you hear that between the 14th and the 28th of September and the reception report is correct, I will handle requests by email only as their QSL manager for this two-week period, and you'll get an email-only QSL for a correct reception report. Even non-reception notes will be appreciated by the engineering staff. Here is the address to use, and it's a lot easier to click on than to convey verbally, but here goes, BIG_H00PLA@yahoo.com. At least I think those are zero zeros, although they could also be capital O's. You might want to try both. He points out that this is the first club or group-sponsored HD radio DX test. However, it was quickly followed by WOR 710 in New York, which is one of the big proponents of HD, thanks to their chief engineer, Thomas R. Ray. He says, we'll be starting nighttime HD operation September 14th. QSL cards will be sent out, but we will accept reports only from outside the New York metro area, and sent this email address, hdqsl@wor710.com. Include program details, but no audio files. Neil Kazaros near Chicago replies to this, I look forward to hearing about WLW and WGN's night iBotch blowing WOR away in your western fringe areas. Those three stations, of course, are on adjacent analog frequencies, 700, 710, and 720. Artie Bigley forwards a note from Broadcaster Magazine. Canadian AM stations operating on frequencies first and second adjacent to powerful U.S. stations may experience increased levels of skywave interference after dark as a result of this FCC decision. On conventional AM receivers, this interference may be heard as a rushing or hissing sound superimposed on the desired analog station's audio. Stations experiencing any such interference within their protected nighttime service areas should report it to the District Industry Canada office. This has been rumored since July, but now it's about to happen, according to the Washington Post itself. Washington Post Radio will go off the air in September after failing to attract enough listeners and losing money during its 17-month existence. It's been broadcasting on 1500 AM, which used to be the Washington Post's own radio station, WTOP, but lately called WTWP, as well as FM 107.7. This is a cooperative venture with Bonneville. They say they'll replace it with a personality-driven station on those frequencies, as well as 820 AM called Talk Radio 3WT, WWWT. This is apparently starting September 20th. Thanks to Mike Cooper and John Filiozzi for those items. A couple of well-known, apparently well-loved and well-remembered radio personalities have passed away. Mr. Wo-Wo, Fort Wayne, Bob Sievers, has died at the age of 90. He retired in 1987, according to the local newspaper. And also from Northeast Radio Watch by Scott Feibusch, Paul Sullivan, the former WBZ 1030 evening talk host, has lost his battle with brain cancer. The new fall season program schedule of CBC Radio 1 has been emerging bit by bit. In particular, there's a strip of feature shows at 11:30 a.m. Monday through Friday, actually 11:32 local time across Canada, which we, of course, can hear on webcasts from five different time zones starting at 14:32 UT. Some of the shows are returning previous programs and others are new on Mondays, and sometimes Y about language, Tuesdays C'est la vie, French Canada for Anglophones, Wednesday is Spark, a new one about technology and the latest stuff, Thursday another new one, Search Engine, which is about, of course, the Internet, and Friday there are new episodes of the drama series Afghanada. Canadian low-power shortwave stations get no respect from other countries, possibly because they do not even appear in the HFCC registrations, so other countries can pretend they don't exist. The two on 6160 of CBC from Newfoundland and British Columbia are about to be hit with another sesquiarve interference, like they already have been, starting September 6th. HCJB's Portuguese service is on 6160 between 09 and 10:30 UT. According to DX Mix News Bulgaria, it's 100 kilowatts. You might think it won't cause much interference up here since it's aimed at 110 degrees from Ecuador, but I'll bet it does. 100 kilowatts versus 500 watts or maybe 1,000 from the Canadians. Some more theorizing about the mysterious unidentified open carrier, which has been running for almost a month on exactly 1181 kilohertz. Les Rayburn in Alabama says, "I have no evidence, but here's a working theory." News reports in Miami indicate members of the Cuban exile community are receiving unconfirmed reports that Castro has passed away, fueled by his failure to appear in public for his 81st birthday. If the U.S. government has knowledge of his death or even strongly suspects it, they may be preparing a lot of contingency plans of their own, including jamming and propaganda broadcasts into Cuba. Many Cubans still rely on AM radio. I suspect the 1181 transmitter and earlier tests this year on other medium wave frequencies are all connected to that effort. The ability to be frequency agile will be important to thwart efforts of the Cuban government to jam the broadcasts. And other types of testing, including propagation studies, would be needed in advance. They may be burning in the transmitter and antenna system at full power to ensure it will be ready for action once broadcasts begin. Harry Helms in Texas replies, "I wonder if this is a situation like that of the Soviet General Secretary Yuri Andropov. We now know he was in a coma for over 3 months before his actual death. Could it be that Castro is still alive but comatose? His prolonged absence from TV certainly points to that if he is indeed still alive. I feel you are 100% correct." Doug Smith, who recently went through Billings, says if they're planning on broadcasting into Cuba, it would seem they're wasting a lot of ERP using a power and pattern that puts a loud and clear carrier into Montana on a cheap portable in a noisy motel room. Well, we have been thinking, due to direction finding, that it's probably coming from eastern Cuba or near Cuba. However, here's another report, which is contrary to that. The National Radio Club, Ray Moore, in Fort Myers, Florida, says the carrier is still there, but rather weak. It seems strange that reports of very strong signals come from the middle western U.S., but it's always been weak here, that is, in southwest Florida. Near Austin, Texas, Harry Helms found the 1181 signal faded out at 1138 UT, which may tell us something about its location. the Sunrise Terminator, I think at that hour on September 9th, was running approximately up from New Orleans toward the north-northwest. That is, all of Cuba, and especially eastern Cuba, were in full daylight by then. We are in the midst of the 1,374th World of Radio. Our address, WORADIO at yahoo.com, or P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, USA. You'll find much more information on our website, especially the archive of DX Listening Digests, upon which this program is based, worldofradio.org. Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania reports some frequencies of interest. The next time a hurricane approaches, he heard some Civil Air Patrol traffic from the Gulf Coast Hurricane Net, September 3rd at midnight 40 UT on 4469 Upper Sideband. As I recall, CAP has a different tactical type call sign for each state, although they're certainly not classified. He also reports the Hurricane Watch Net on 20 meters, 14325 at 1920. There's another one with some Hurricane Felix information, the Maritime Mobile Net at 1635 on 14300 Upper Sideband. Elmer Escoto in Honduras, which got brushed, if not hit, by that hurricane, says one of the biggest broadcasting change there, HRN was on the air 24 hours with reports about Hurricane Felix. Past 0500 UT, among the medium wave frequencies are 660, 670, 690, 680, 700, and 710 in all the major cities of the country, or on the web. It's www.radiohrn.hn. Fred Waterer points out a website which is a great tool during the Atlantic hurricane season, linking to radar, webcams, radio stations in the affected areas. Check this anytime a hurricane is active, www.hurricanecity.com. Even though it's pretty low powered of only 400 watts, as we mentioned recently, XERTA in Mexico City is usually audible at night on 4810, but it was missing on September 9th when I checked around 0530. Quickly came word as to why from Thierry Fricot in the Federal District. He forwarded a bulletin from XE1 RCS. The manager of the station said they are off the air for 30 to 60 days as they are replacing their antenna. However, there is another interesting station you may hear around that time. I usually tune around 49 meters between 05 and 06 UT, and on September 6th, I heard Radio Amanecer Internacional in the Dominican Republic on 6025 with light gospel music and a full ID at 0600. Usually it is off the air before then. Don't know why they were on the air that late that particular evening. Reception improved after 0600 when China Relay went off 6020, so we'd get a bit further away from Martí on 6030. Are they aware in the Dominican Republic that Cuban jamming and Martí are right next door in more ways than one? Why in the world consign the country's only active shortwave station to such a channel? And are the Seventh-day Adventists aware of what a raw deal they have? Much closer to it, Terry Kruger in Florida replies, I can hear Amanecer all day. Obviously it's messy at night, so I'm not sure, especially closer to the DR, that 6025 is that bad. Probably nobody is really listening to it regardless, as it's just old and dying shortwave. Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania heard it at another time, 2350 UT, but with adjacent channel splatter. From the Enigma 2000 Bulletin, specializing in spy numbers stations and reporting loggings in great detail, here's a quick list of the active Cuban number station frequencies, which they designate V02A. Most of them are the familiar woman's voice, but some of them use letters in code instead. Here comes the frequency list. 3292, 4028, 5762, 5800, 5883, 5898, 6768, 6855, 7887, 9040, 9240, 10446, 12165, 12180, 17436 and 17478. They adhere to a complex schedule depending on the day of the week. I found Radio Havana Cuba has started up a new frequency on the 21-meter band, 13760. I've heard it both in the morning, before and after 1400, and in the afternoon at 2125. In the morning, it's accompanied by a mixing product on 13720, leapfrogging over the China relay via Cuba on 13740. It's from a different site than 13680, the much stronger signal in the morning, because comparing the two on different receivers, there is an echo between them. Here's a chance for those near Toronto to meet in person or at least hear a presentation by Russell Stendahl of the Colombian stations of Colombia para Cristo, La Voz de tu Conciencia, 6010, and Marfil Estéreo, 5910, plus their mixing products. According to Galcom, the supplier of fixed-tuned radios, totally of no use to DX listeners, they're having a banquet Saturday evening, September 29th, in Hamilton, Ontario, and he is the speaker. It starts at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time at the Calvin Christian School, but RSVP by September 14th, 905-574-4626. On September 5th, Rogildo Aragawan, Bolivia, reported a new frequency for Radio San Miguel in Riveralta. It's one of those stations which jumps around a lot. It was on 4699.4 at 1028 UT with Comunicados and ID. Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania probably heard it, but he could not get an ID. September 8th from 0115 to closing at 0208 on 4699.40. In Conexión Digital, Adán Moore in Paraguay reports Radio Virgen de los Remedios in Tupiza, Bolivia, on 4550, August 21st, with an ID at 1137. And also Radio Cultura AM, São Paulo, Brazil, off frequency 9353, August 16th at 2306. Tom Taylor tells us that EMR will be carrying out its final transmission this year via Germany on 6045, September 16th, Sunday at 1200 UT via MV Baltic Radio, but they do have a new QSL card and information sheet. Raul Saavedra in Costa Rica notes that Radio Ukraine International is booming in at 0300 in English on 7440, a clear and rich signal. However, as they've been planning for several months, RUI is about to change frequencies for all its broadcasts, effective September 23rd, a rather odd date. The English transmissions to North America at midnight in 0300 will move to 5820 using 600 kilowatts, another odd figure, while English to Europe at 14, 19, and 21 will be on 5830. The other English broadcasts at 05 and 07 on 7420 and at 11 on 9950. The low-power station in southern Sudan, Radio Peace in the Nuba Mountains, reported from Europe on 4749.98, August 30th at 1718 to 1730 by Max van Arnhem in the Netherlands, DSWCIDX window. He heard IDs as "This is Radio Peace" on 4750 kHz in the 60-meter band. The signal was weak. An amateur radio de-expedition is active until September 24th from St. Brandon. If you don't know where this is, I'll let you enjoy learning about it. The website has all the details, including frequencies, www.3b7c.com. That's also their call sign, 3 Bravo 7 Charlie. Seems you never know from one day to the next which frequencies Israel Radio will use. On September 8th, Bernie O'Shea in Ontario found the English broadcast at 0330 on 9345-7530, also listed on 17600. He and Noel Green in England find the English broadcast at 1730 on 13675, 11590, and 9345. Of course, these and all their other times shortly moving 1 UT hour later. Some logs from Acker Peterson, Denmark, DSWCIDX window, Radio Bahrain on 6010, from 2340 to midnight 40 UT, August 23rd into 24th, playing British romantic songs nonstop, no announcements heard, but he's sure that's what it was, best on upper side band to avoid Columbia. And Radio Voice of Kurdistan from Northern Iraq, 3930 from 0250 to fade out at 0335. However, a strong jammer came on at 0255, so it changed frequency from 3940 to 3926 to 3930 to 3920 with the jammer following quickly afterwards. And Myanmar Radio Burma signing on at midnight 30 UT on 7185. Also reported by Martin Groot in the Netherlands, who says, I'm sure that's what it is, heard September 3rd at midnight 31, Buddhist prayer recitation at midnight 33. However, the carrier appeared as early as 2354. DX Mix News Bulgaria has a revised schedule for Radio Pakistan, including English as follows, 0730 to 0830 and 11 to 1105 on 15100 and 17835, 16 to 1615 on 9380, 11550.4, and 11570. The Asami broadcast at midnight 45 to 0115 is on 9340.4. And as we recently had a report, that's still partly in English, perhaps after 0100. Toshi Otaki of the Japan Shortwave Club, who used to provide a DX segment on Radio Japan's World Interactive Program, says he's back, but only on the weekend of September 15th or 22nd during the multiple broadcasts of that show. A rare chance to get DX information now from Radio Japan. Not only is Mong Lao Radio on WHRI Saturday and Sunday mornings 11785 at 1300, including some enjoyable exotic or rustic music, but on September 9th, I found it followed by another hour in Hmong, that being identified as Hmong World Christian Radio, but they play some of the same kind of music until 1500 UT on 11785. Observations of Voice of Indonesia in English from Queensland, Barry Hartley says it could barely be heard at 0200 on 11785. But in Costa Rica, Raul Saavedra says it's doing well on 11785 for English at 2000. Ron Howard in California also heard that frequency after WHRI signed off at 1559, starting an Arabic show. That was September 9th, but on September 8th, Chuck Albertson in Washington says they were on 9525, playing English IDs in the Gamelan Orchestra for half an hour at 1530. Again, visiting Queensland, Barry Hartley reports to BCDX that Wantok Radio Light, Papua New Guinea, was heard a few times on 7325, but very weak, just audible. Same for the Catholic station on 4960. I could just make it out at night. The propagation outlook from Prague issued September 6th. Solar activity quiet on the 12th to 14th, 18th to 21st, and 27th. Active to disturbed on the 23rd, 24th, 28th, and 29th. Otherwise unsettled to active through October 1st. And that concludes another World of Radio, number 1374. Glenn Hauser hoping you will hear me again next week.